This week's parsha is Parshas Korach, and in Parshas Korach we have the infamous rebellion of Korach and his Eda. Korach was a first cousin, Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kahas ben Levi, who was a first cousin to Moshe and Aaron, and Korach's rebellion really stemmed from jealousy. He felt it unfair that he was just a Levi, and Moshe was the Moshe Rabbeinu, the leader, the chief rabbi, if you will, and Aaron was the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, and why should I be just a Levi? And he gathers a contingency of men, including 250 followers, people from the tribe of Reuven, and Dasan and Aviram, Ben Pelas, who's his own story, and they gather against Moshe and Aaron, and they say, Rav lechem, ki kol ha'eda kulam kadoshim, u'bedu atit nasu al kol Hashem, we're all holy, why do you pride yourselves over the assembly of God? And of course, Korach was not working for the sake of heaven. Korach is working for the sake of heaven, for the sake of himself. Korach wanted the power and the gedula for himself. And of course, kol ha'eda kulam kadoshim, the entire assembly is holy, yet we have distinct roles and different roles. And Moshe and Aaron were working for the sake of Hashem, and Korach was working for the sake of political gain, for the sake of his own name, for the sake of Korach himself. The Mishnah tells us in Perkei Avos, kol machloka shehi l'shem shemayim sofa l'hiskayim, v'she'eino l'shem shemayim ein sofa l'hiskayim, any machloka, strife, quarrel, that's for the sake of heaven, in the end will endure. And any machloka that is not for the sake of heaven will not endure. Ezi mechoka shehi l'shem shemayim was an example of a mechoka that is for the sake of heaven that will endure. So I mechokas Hillel v'Shammai, the mechokas of Hillel and Shammai. And Hillel said, you start with one candle and go up to eight. And Shammai said, you start with eight and go down to one. This is a by Chanukah, this is a mechokas shehi l'shem shemayim. Shabbos chof alav, this is a mechokas that is l'shem shemayim. So Fali iskayim, we still debate, we still learn, we still today learn from both positions. What do we learn from Beis Hillel? What do we learn from Beis Shammai? What do we learn from their positions? Beis mechokas shehi l'shem shemayim. What is a mechokas that is not for the sake of heaven? Zohi mechokas Korach, we'll call this so. This is the mechokas, the strife, the quarrel, the instigation, the fight of Korach and his entire assembly. I'm going to quote from Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky, the Menahem Yeshiva South Shore, in his Parsha Parables, in the Sefer Parsha Parables. The Mishnah, of course, is referring to the episode in the Parshas Korach. Korach, a first cousin of Moshe, contested the priesthood. He gathered 250 followers, he formed a congregation, and he openly rebelled against Moshe and Aaron. He claimed that Moshe and his brother seized temporal and spiritual leadership. Moshe, in his great humility, offered a solution in which divine intercession would point to the true leader. So Moshe says, we'll all take Torahs in our fire pens, and whoever God has chosen, that's the one who, whichever fire pen God has chosen, that's the one that God has chosen. Korach and his leaders, of course, agree. We're in Bar Midbar, Perek Tesvav. However, says Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky, he writes, the die was cast. Korach and his men were ultimately swallowed alive by a miraculous version of an earthquake. We know that the earth opened up and swallowed them alive. Two questions occur, says Rabbi Kamenetsky. By using the expression, an argument for the sake of heaven will last, machloka shehi l'shem shemayim sofali itkayim, the Mishnah seems to be saying an ongoing argument is proof of its sanctity. How so? Secondly, in referring to the lasting argument, the Mishnah cites the combatants Hillel and Shammai. So machlokas l'shem shemayim has two different parties, Hillel and Shammai, party A and party B. Note, each in his own side of the debate. Yet in reference to a doomed argument that will not last, the Mishnah only gives one side, Korach v'chol Hadassah, it's the same side. So in a machlokas l'shem shemayim, you have party A and party B. Party A has his opinion and party B has his opinion. In a machlokas l'shem shemayim, Korach v'chol Hadassah, that's only party A. What happened to party B? Who are they arguing against? The answer is arguing against themselves. Each one in a machokas, shalom l'shem shemayim, is really working for his own power. Says Rabbi Kamenetsky, the Mishnah gives us a litmus test. How does one know when there is validity to an argument? Only when it is an argument that envelops eternity. The machokas of Hillel and Shammai last until today in the halls and classrooms of yeshivos and synagogues across the world, because each sage's view is not given for his own personal gain. Instead, it was truly for the sake of heaven. Shammai was working l'shem shemayim, and Hillel was working l'shem shemayim. And so, therefore, if something lasts for eternity, you know it's l'shem shemayim. However, Korach's battle with Moshe was one based on personal gain. Moshe had no issue with Korach and his Eda. The battle was of Korach and his cohorts, each with a completely different motivation, and that was himself. So each of the 250 joined were worried about who? Their own self. So you have 250 people who come with 250 quarrels, really. They're each working for themselves, and certainly Korach is working for his own self. Thus, it did not last. A battle with divine intent will remain internal. Because, says Rabbi Kamenetsky, in a healthy environment, there is room for healthy difference. And it is those differences that will wax eternal. Something so powerful to keep in mind. When Klal Yisrael, when the different factions in Klal Yisrael, when the different streams of Judaism, and the different sects of Judaism, if you will, S-E-C-T-S, when we are in a quarrel that is L'shem Shamayim, each party has a valid claim. Ultimately, one party has to decide to follow the other sometimes, but each party has a valid claim. When each party is only fighting for themselves, Rahman al-Tzlan, very painful to see Jews fighting with each other. That's, of course, what brought down the Beis HaMikdash, Yuma Tesam at Beis, the second Beis HaMikdash. This is a quarrel that will not endure. And ultimately, Rahman al-Tzlan, the ground opened up and swallowed Korach and his men. The Aisha brought down, I don't remember where the source of this is, I've seen it brought down a number of places. If you look at the word machlokas, in not Rashi script and not script, but block letters, mem, ches, lamid, kuf, tav. If you look at the shape of the letters, it tells you what a machlokas does and how a small quarrel can be blown up into such great proportion that it takes everything along with it. The mem, again, block letters, not script and not Rashi script. There's a teeny opening in the mem. That tells you that a machlokas begins very small. Very often, when two people or two parties or two sides fight about it, it's so small. The next letter is a ches. Now the opening's a little bit bigger because, of course, the opening on the bottom of the ches is much bigger than the mem. If the argument is not squelched immediately, if the point is not put to rest, if the sides can't work it out, that little opening of machlokas in the mem, ches becomes much bigger. And if it's still left to fester and grow on the flames of machlokas, are fanned even higher, lamed, the tall letter, it starts to grow higher and higher, bigger and bigger. All of a sudden, the machlokas is growing greater and greater. The next letter is a kuf, down, low. It takes everything down along with it. And finally, tav, it's standing firmly on its own two feet. So it began as something so small, the opening in the mem, the little teeny opening. Grew, the opening of the ches, started to go higher and higher, stronger and stronger, greater and greater, lamed, kuf, starts to take everything down, just like the mechokas of Korach, his household, children, the tent, himself. Finally, tav, it's standing firm on its own two feet, and it's something that we should be cognizant of, something we should strive at all costs to avoid. The Chavetz Chaim would run from mechokas as if he was running from fire himself. Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky in the Sefer Parsha Parables always teaches a lesson with a humorous vignette or some sort of mashal or story, so I will quote the story that he tells. The week following Passover 1985, I began serving my first pulpit in an old small shul in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The scent of herring juice permeated the building, and the benches did not merely creak as the davener swayed, they cracked. As old as the furnishings were, the membership was even older. But the congregation's spirited tradition was feistier than its physical appearance. During my first week, I was asked to bless the new month of Iyar, Mevarchim Chodesh Iyar. Then the trouble began. Every Shabbos Avarachamim, a somber prayer which memorializes Jewish martyrs during the era of the Crusades, is recited. On holidays or other festivals or occasions, such as Shabbos Mevarchim, the prayer, of course, is right before Ashrei, before Masif, the prayer is omitted in deference to the spirit of celebration. However, the month of Iyar is considered a sad time for Jews, as 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva perished just during this time, as per the Gemara Nivama 62b. Contrary to the other months, many congregations recite Avarachim and Shabbos Mevarachim Chodesh Iyar because of the students of Rabbi Akiva. I assume my new congregation did the same. I began to recite Avarachim. Immediately I heard a shout, and then an uproar began. We don't say Avarachim today. We just blessed the new month, says the president. We do say it this month, yelled back the vice president. It's Sfira, it's a period of mourning. Exclaimed the treasurer, you know nothing. We never, ever say when we bench Rosh Chodesh, said the Gabbai, the treasurer. We always do, said the Gabbai. The argument brewed for 5 minutes. They all began to smile, and they instructed me to say the prayers I had planned. Before I continued the service, I went over to the old shamash, who was sitting quietly through the tumult, and I said to the shamash, what is the minhag of this shul? He pointed to the former combatants. He beamed, and he said to me, Rabbi, this shul is 100 years old. This is our minhag. It's humorous. It's cute. What was he saying? It's our minhag to argue every Rosh Chodesh Iyar, Bevarchim Chodesh Iyar, whether we say Avarachim or not. The minhag is machlokas. Of course, this was just a humorous, lighthearted incident. But Machlokas is not humorous. But Machlokas is not lighthearted. Like Korach teaches us, like the Mishnah immortalizes for eternity, we would do well to take the lesson. And we are each side coming with a discrepancy to side for the sake of heaven, like Hillel and Shammai, you will endure. And today, the Machlokas of Hillel and Shammai are still debated across yeshivas around the world. But the Machlokas of Korach and his Eder, there was only one side. Each one of those 250 combatants in Korach were working for their own selves. And Dasan and Aviram, and such a machlokas will only take a person, a Rechmon and Slan, the Klal down. Of course, it's what destroyed the base of Ikhtash, Mepanesha Haisabo Sinas Chiram. And what begins as a teeny opening in a mem ultimately stands on its own 2 feet, the Tav. We should remember the lesson and do whatever we can in our power. Mepanesha HaShalom Shkula Keneged Hakol. Shalom is something that is equal to everything. May we do our part to bring shalom. May the Ribbono Shel Olam bless us with shalom. Thank you so much, everybody. I wish you a wonderful day. Kol Tov, B'suros Tovos, and Be'ezrat Hashem, a Shabbat Shalom.